Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good Saturday morning. Happy Saturday, everyone. And the sun is coming out here in Fort Worth, Texas. The Faster of Tea. What on earth does that mean? Tea is for perseverance. How often in our lives do we need to persevere to make and take our lives and our businesses to the next level? This show is devoted to bringing in guests that want to share their stories. Today, Ms. Cherie, are you there?
I am.
How are you today?
I'm wonderful.
Ms. Cherie Fontaine is coming to us again from Fort Worth, Texas, and she has agreed to share her stories with us. Before we get into that, Cherie, why don't we tell the audience a little bit about yourself, your background?
I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas. I come from just me and my brother. I do have a lot of, like, surrogate siblings, but as far as there's really only two of us. Then I graduated from Dunmore High School. And I also graduated with my bachelor's degree from Texas Wesleyan University. After my mother took ill, I didn't go to the two schools that I had been accepted to. I was originally scheduled to go to University of Miami for a business degree. I was pre-law at the time. So, and now I'm married and looking to start a new business venture very soon, which will be a clothing line. And I'm married to a Greek guy and got to live in Europe for about a year, and now I'm here doing admissions work and work for a couple of schools that are, you know, good, well-known universities, and it's good, but not my dream for my life, basically. So.
Mm-hmm. You know, Cherie, my favorite quote is from Maya Angelou, and that quote is, "I wouldn't take nothing for my journey right now." And although that may not mean a lot to most people, it means a lot to me because of where I came from and my time growing up in Alabama. Today, our show is devoted to you and to your telling us your story. What brought you through your difficulties and how you managed to overcome and face those difficulties in your life. Would you share that information with us again, please?
I was molested by a family member. I'm starting at 8 years old. It lasted until I was 15, almost 16 years old. It was very difficult for me. It made it to where I felt like I was always living like this two lives, basically. One life where I was happy, which was my school life with my friends, and then the life I had at home, which was not nurturing on any regard. I didn't have nurturers in my family. I was very alone and kind of left to fend for myself. Some of it due into I had been very independent as a younger child, so. My mother took it as I didn't really need to be nurtured. I didn't have a use for her, when in reality I needed her love and I needed her protection, and she didn't give that to me. So it made me grow a very thick skin. It made me find surrogate mothers quite a bit growing up, but I also had a very big faith in God, because when I was small, my mom had given me a nanny who was 63 years old when she started keeping me, and they were both deacon and deaconesses of every church that they ever belonged to, and I would go and be in church. So a lot of my strength came from that spiritualness that they had put in me as a very small child, and it made me a very resilient person.
Mm-hmm. Now, how you mentioned a moment ago that you were happier as a child when you were in school.
Yes.
Do you think that is really what propelled you on in your educational goals to obtain a master's degree, because you were happier at that time when you were around your friends in the school?
Yes. I was happier with my friends. My friends became like my surrogate family. And so that was how I got a lot of my nurturing, a lot of my encouragement. I've also been very blessed to have a few teachers that took the time to get into me and pour into me, and they saw that I was very talented, you know, and had a lot of dreams and a lot of aspirations. Now, that doesn't say that I didn't have teachers that were also the opposite, but for the most part, I did have very good friends. Now, in that believed in me, you know, and I was always the pretty smart girl was always who I was in the group, you know. So everybody never, it was always surprising to people because they assumed that because I was pretty that I wouldn't be that smart. But I was in magnet school the whole time I was in through middle school and high school. I was in advanced honors the entire time. Now, I do have desires at some point to go get a master's degree. Now, the problem is I can't seem to figure out what I want to get a master's degree in. I'm thinking more now I need to get something that's more focused in cultural diversity, because that's something that's very interesting to me and very near to me, and kind of breaking down some of these barriers that we have in the workplace to make it to where we're a lot more cohesive and a lot more tolerant and understanding of each other.
I understand that you're also contemplating writing a book about your life.
I am. I would like to share my story of how I survived being abused as a child and come on the other side of it so that I can be that light for other women, to let them know that just because that happened to you, it doesn't have to shape your life. Your work doesn't have to change just because you went through that.
You know, you shared something with me several weeks ago that I didn't know, and that is this, that about 25% of women in the black race have been molested. That was a shock to me. How did you maintain your sanity?
I maintained it the whole time, because I did have two nervous breakdowns in my childhood when things became more violent towards me. But that was also what gave me the strength to tell what was going on and get myself out of that situation. Because the ideology that, you know, my mother looked at it as, oh, well, you're about to grow up and move on anyway, so what difference does it make? And I'm just like, you should care more about your child. But I was like, I'm not going to put up with this. I'm not going to accept this, and I'm going to do what's necessary. So,
the other thing I learned from you is that it's a silence. It happens in some families, not a lot, but some families, and it's just something that people don't talk about.
Yes.
It's generational.
Yes.
And although we hear about it, we don't really know that it has happened to women we know and how they've been damaged by this experience in their lives. Well, who is your mentor? A person that you look up to, maybe a quote or something that someone said to you that has truly made a difference in your life?
A quote that makes a difference in my life is Maya Angelou's quote of, when someone shows you their true face, believe them.
That's right.
That has always resonated with me because I have never been, I throw most people off because I don't have what most people have, their representative, which is the person they want you to think they are, that you meet at the beginning. Then you meet the person that they are, and then they also have the person that they in their mind believe that they are. Mm-hmm. I have never had that representative. I've always just been who I am and who I aspire to be, because I never developed that ability to do that. But in my dealings with people, I had to accept that a lot of people are not who they make themselves out to be from the very beginning, and learn that when you finally see who somebody is, because I'm a big action person, I don't care what you say, I care about what you do, and what you do determines what I think about you as a person. And if your walk and your talk don't match, I'm going to believe your walk because that's what you're doing. So it helps me in accepting that when someone betrayed my trust or when someone was good to me, that I learned this is who, these are the people that you need to align yourself with, are those that are for you. And then those that show that they're not for you, that you, not to say that you cut everybody off, but you limit that negative experience into your space. And
we'll
because
be right.
I want positive. Huh?
We'll be right back. Don't go away. Hold on. Hold that thought. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey right now. And the Factor P in our Christian coaching and consulting practice, we deal with men and women from a spiritually integrated, principle-centered approach to solving problems. With tangible, penetrating insights and pointed antidotes. Our focus is to help people, to engage them, to adapt and change their mindsets. The website is TheFactorP.com. This show is on every Saturday morning or Wednesday morning, so please join us. To sign up for a free interview, the number is 214-548-2584 or visit the website, TheFactorP.com. You know, we're here with Cherise Fontaine, and it's really important for for us to understand how Charisse has persevered, how her life has changed her, and how she's made a difference in other people's lives. Charisse, how did you survive?
I survived through my spirituality. I just believe that God had something better for me, and I just believe that I was put here for something special. And I had my friend Aunt used to tell me that anytime you were experiencing any type of real adversity, that means that God has something special. There's meant to be something special, a little more heavier than the normal person is, and you won't get more than what you can take on. So I take that to mean that I was meant to be an inspiration to others that have experienced what I've experienced, and to help them to be, know that they can be anything they want to be, because in the Black community, there is a great silence. We have yet to move past what a lot of other communities have moved past, where we blame the victim for what happened to them. There still is that placing the blame on the victim and saying, well, if you hadn't have been doing this, or you hadn't have been dressed this way, or if you hadn't have been, you know, then that wouldn't have happened to you. Instead of accepting that this is a child that someone took advantage of, and that person was going to take advantage of them no matter what they did, it's your job to make sure that now that they have experience, that they get the help that they need, be it through therapy, be it through finding them that are other children like them, counseling, whatever it is they need, so that they can become whole again, because it is a greater break, that sexual abuse has a greater break on someone. It changes everything as far as how you look at them. People, they say that people that have sexual abuse go in one of two ways. You either become a complete sexual demon, or you become extremely fickle, which is you don't like any type of physical contact. You swing one way or the other. So it's very important that sometimes we get people that have behaviors, we need to find out that root behavior. Actually take the time to find out what's causing that behavior. And most people would be surprised to find out that it's not because this is just some loose woman. You'll find that that's what they were taught because mm-hmm. of what happened to them as a child. Because a lot of times you'll find a lot of women that are in the porn industry, a lot of women that are in, you know, the stripping, exotic dancing industry, a lot of those women are victims of that kind of business. And not to say that they don't all do that. Some of them grow up to be these extremely successful business women. But then they're mean, and they don't let anyone close to them, and they don't trust anyone. But nobody's ever taken the time to find out why they don't trust anyone, why they're so angry and bitter, because they never were allowed to deal with those emotions that come from what happened to them. So,
we'll be right back. Don't go away. We are back with The Factor of Peace with Charisse Fontaine. And Sheree, I must tell you several things, and One is, as I looked at the questions that you sent to me to conduct this radio interview, I see 10 chapters.
Yeah.
As I listen to you, talk about these questions, I see in depth the 10 chapters. Have you thought about the name of your book?
No, that's the one thing that keeps escaping me is the name of what I would name this book. I know what I would, you know, what I would call it, because it's so personal, you know, but it's also something that needs to be wrote, because, yeah, so many books that are kind of like this, but they're not from the Black community. They're from women of other nationalities where they've moved a lot further in acceptance and not in allowing the victims to heal through not blaming them, putting the blame on their aggressor, putting the blame on the person that took advantage of them. In the Black community, we still have such a hush-hush about, because we don't want people to know, care more about our what we look like to everybody else on the outside and our reputation than we do about being honest about the fact that we failed at, you know, our child, you know, and they were hurt because we didn't protect them the way we were supposed to, you know. So I'm still molding over what would be a good title for the book.
Well, trust me, that name will come to you. You know, I think about the fact that Maya Angelou is a woman that I still look up today, although she's transitioned. But also, we look at Tina Turner, and people ask me why I play this song the best on my show. I do that because she's gone through so many adversities in her life. And look at where she is now. She's been really a shining light to many women of all races to show them what they can do to make it through. And let's talk. And we're talking about your journey and what you've done. And I look at you as a young woman, and I said to you several weeks ago, I wish I knew then what I know now. And to pass that information on, that empowerment on to other women, is something that you are engaged to do. You want to do that. Now, that said, how has that experience changed you? And what did you learn about yourself?
Well, I learned very different things about myself. Like, I actually did do therapy from 17 to 19. I credit that for me being able to kind of put it to bed in a lot of ways. But I had to learn things that other people didn't, because in my family, I was never allowed to show my emotions a lot of times. So I had to learn how to be angry, that it was okay for me to be angry about something. It was okay for me to show my frustration in the situation. And I had to learn emotions that most people are used to rolling through on a continuous basis, but because as a child, my family would never allow me to show any of my negative emotions. And compared to my brother, you know, who was the opposite of me, you know, in a lot of ways, I wasn't, you know, that individuality was kind of taken from me. And so when I went through therapy and I was told, you can be angry if you're angry. You can be frustrated if you're frustrated. You don't, you know. So I had to learn that. But I also figured out something about myself that I did not
that I don't think most women that go through what I go through ever have that aha moment. Because we get trained that sexual intimacy is the same as regular intimacy, that real love, and those two are synonymous with one another. And I was probably 19, 20 years old when I figured, I went, wait a minute, those two things are not the same thing. Somebody could have that kind of contact with me and not care anything about me. And that's not, so then I changed, my value of myself changed. I said, either, even though I never was a highly promiscuous person anyway, but it kind of gave me that extra foundation that I needed. It made me say, you know what? This is not right. What I was trained to believe as a survival, and I grew in a survival, you know, my brain was in a complete survival mode. All of my adolescent, preteen, early teen, you know, I was in survival, you know. So I learned two things about myself. I learned, number one, I can survive anything. And you might think you have me beat, but I guarantee you I will get up, and when I get up, I'm coming back with the vengeance.
So, and apparently you were able to pass this on as you moved through your life. And what would you say to someone right now who went through the same thing that you've gone through?
I would say that if you've been letting this control your life, if you've been making decisions based off of it, that it's time to get up, take your power back, and become who you want to be.
And in closing, I'll say this, I'll ask this question. Would you take anything for your journey right now?
No, I've learned, I don't know, I think I've learned a lot about myself over the years. I've had, now, are there some things that I wish I could change? Are there some things that I wish that were different? Yes. But would I take back being able to know that I can persevere through anything? No. I would not. Because
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Sorry. No, go ahead.
We look forward to your new book and to being a part of your journey. This is Janice.
Thank you.
Montgomery Alvo Keistrazer. Embrace the Factor P. Why? Perseverance. God has blessed you. You have more inside of you than you would ever know. Take advantage of the opportunities, and you can change the world. Thank you. Have a blessed and profitable Saturday weekend, this weekend. Thank you, Charisse Fontaine, for being our guest on the Factor P radio show. I am Janice Montgomery, Albo Keistrazer. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you next week. Bye now.